No, we've been studying through the attributes of God for the past several weeks, and we'll continue on this study for this week and for next week. For just about 15 minutes today, I'd just like to touch on the topic that God is infinite. And I'll ask that Brother Laxman just bring up the presentation if he could. Okay, thank you. So for just about 15 minutes today, I'd like to touch on the topic that God is infinite, or another way to say it. Do we have a clicker, or is it? Okay. Another way to say it would be that God is beyond measure. So let's begin with a question. And the question is this: what is an attribute of God? An attribute is something that God has declared about himself, and he's declared it in one of two ways. Either he's declared it through nature, or he's declared it through scripture. And in other words, an attribute is something that's going to tell us what God is like. So then the next logical question is this: well, what is God like then? And I think from scripture, when we look at his attributes, we can bring out a list of items. And some of those items are: God is spirit, God is infinite, he is eternal, he is unchangeable, he is full of wisdom, he is full of power, he is holy, he is justice, and he is truth. There's several of them, but what I'd like to focus on today is the fact that God is infinite. Now, the Bible teaches us that God is infinite, and it does this through several scripture portions. It teaches us the fact that God is beyond measure. And for us, what it requires for us to do is, it requires for us in our own mind to picture a being that we're actually not familiar with. It's a being beyond anything that we're even capable of knowing or capable of understanding. Because you and I, we're familiar with things like matter. We're familiar with things like space, like time and motion and energy. We're familiar with physical things, with bodies, with things that we see on this earth. We're familiar with the physical laws of nature. But we're not familiar with a being like God is. You and I are familiar with creatures that live in time and space. But what we're going to be talking about today is something way beyond that. He's one who isn't matter. He isn't space. He doesn't dwell in space. The scriptures actually tell us that he overflows the heaven of heavens, and he isn't subject to time. And scripture tells us that he is the uncreated one. I think William McDonald explained it best. And when I was looking at this week, I was looking at the book from William McDonald, and he said it best when he was talking about the attributes of God is, when we're studying the attributes of God, we should come to the attributes as a small child, or come to God actually as a small child to the end of an ocean. And as a child is going to dip his bucket into the ocean, that's how we should sort of approach this study. And the child fills their bucket at the end of the ocean. Yes, the bucket is going to be filled. But it's important to realize that while this bucket of this child at the end of the ocean is filled, and likely that bucket is filled as full as it can be, the ocean will not be emptied. The bucket is filled, but the ocean is as if it's been untouched. And that's the way we really have to approach the study of an infinite God. Is we can fill our minds with all these wonderful and amazing thoughts about this infinite God, but in the end, we will have only touched or scratched the surface of his greatness or infinite God. And I think when we study about the attributes of God, that's really how we need to approach the studies. And yet, I think one of the quotes that you see on the bottom of the screen, hopefully it's big enough for you to see it, is a quote from A.W. Tozer, where he said, "Even yet, the greatest thought that can enter a human mind is grappling with the contemplation of God." So why? Isn't it correct then that we cannot, why would we study the attributes of God, or why would we care that God is infinite if all we can do is scratch the surface? And the reason why believers we should contemplate on these things, I think we can see it. You don't have to turn there, but you can see it in 2 Corinthians 3:18. As believers, the more that we behold him, the more the Holy Spirit would illuminate our hearts and bring us closer to him and draw us to him in worship. And that's really why we study about the attributes of God. So in just a few minutes we have, and hopefully about 15 minutes, let's attempt to put a definition around God's infinite nature. And you can see on your screen, for those of you who have children in the BSF program, and we have kids in the BSF program, you'll know that one of the things that they learn in BSF is about the attributes of God. And they actually are allowed to take a sheet home every year around the attributes of God. And I really like, and that's why I put it in here, I really like the definition around the attributes of God that they've sort of put together. And this is the definition. God is infinite. God has no beginning and no end. He has always existed and he always will. This is why God declared his name to be I am. God is. God also has no size. There is no place that contain God because God has no limits of any kind. There's no way to measure God, for everything that God is limitless. God's power has no limits. God's knowledge has no limits. God's love has no limits. God the Father and Spirit are all the same, infinite. So like I mentioned, as much as we can, that's probably the best definition that we could come together and put together from scriptures together of how God is infinite and what his infinite nature looks like. So in other words, to say it, it would sound like this. There is no way to measure or to calculate his greatness. He is unbounded. He is limitless. He is greatest. His greatness is inconceivable. No created intelligence can take in what he is. He is infinite. So if you'll progress one more, Brother Lakshman, there's some verses that I'd like to just go through very quickly. If you'll turn, and what I'd like to do is through these verses to display the infinite nature of God. So first we'll turn to 1 Kings 8, verse 27. 1 Kings 8, verse 27. What it says is, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built?" So these are the words of King Solomon speaking about an infinite God in comparison to a temple that's been built with hands. And Solomon proclaims how infinite you are. You are beyond the heaven, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. Listen to the words of Solomon talking about this infinite God. The next verse, Jeremiah 23, verse 24, the Lord himself rhetorically asks, "Do I not fill the heaven and the earth?" Job 36, verse 27, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out." Job 37, verse 5, "God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding." So you can see some of the thoughts around being an infinite God, the fact that he can't be contained, the thoughts that he is great, the thoughts that his years cannot be searched out, the thoughts that he does great things beyond our understanding. He is an infinite God. He is boundless. He is unlimited. And one of the things that we need to do as we really study the fact that our God is an infinite God is really break the mold sometimes of what these words mean to us. Because sometimes these words like unlimited and boundless and infinite, sometimes these words in our culture are actually used frivolously, right? So often you hear the word used unlimited in conversation. People will say things like, "The U.S. has unlimited resources. The United States has unlimited resources." Or for those who in the work world, you'll hear, I mean, in our work world, we always hear the engineering and finance departments have unlimited budgets and everyone else has super tiny budgets, right? Unlimited, the use of that word. And you can see the error or the incorrect use of that word, because the U.S. does not have unlimited resources, nor does any department have any unlimited resources. And it's same with the word boundless. You can often hear the words, you see children, we have a two-year-old at our house, and you'll hear the phrase, that child has boundless energy, right? And the truth is, it's a good description, but that it's not an accurate description because the child does not have boundless energy, right? There is bounds to that child's energy. In fact, the child has to go to sleep at night at some point, even though it'd be late. So I think the words and the way that we use these descriptions, we have to realize that there's really only one that those words can be attributed to, and that one is God himself. A few more scripture portions, rather, if you'll move it along. Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, and I'll read it from the screen. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you are more worth than many sparrows. Isn't it amazing that there are no two faces that have been created alike? There's no two voices that have been created alike. Every individual has a unique fingerprint. Think about it, even as we pray tonight, there are so many prayers that are going up and ascending to the heavens in so many languages and so many dialects. It says in scripture portion that our God is concerned with every human being. He knows the number of hairs that are on our head. How infinite is the God that we serve. The next verse, Job 26, verse 14, says, and these are but the outer fringe of his works. How faint the whisper we hear of him. Who can then understand the thunder of his power? It's interesting when you look at Job chapter 26 and you look at the context of what is said in this verse, the entire chapter of 26 is spent about Job talking about the greatness of God, about how infinite he is. And then after saying about 13 verses of that, Job comes to this conclusion about God. He says, after I've said all these things, he says, and these are but the outer fringe of his works. How faint the whisper we hear of him. Who can then understand the thunder of his power? But Job is saying, I've said all these things, 13 verses worth, to the point that I've exhausted the vocabulary that I have. But even these things are the outskirts of what God is. Who can understand the thunder of his power? And I'll end by just two statements. One is, I think when studying the attributes of God, I think one of the things that we need to do in every attribute is consider these attributes in consideration of who we are. So looking at the infinite nature of God versus the finite nature of who we are. It says in scripture that God is boundless, that God is unlimited, that God is infinite. But it also says in scripture that you and I are vapor, are like vapor. You and I are like grass. You and I are fleeting. One day that we are here and then the next day that we are gone. So when we think about things that way, and when we look at God from that perspective, the thing that happens to us is we bow before him in worship. How amazing and how wonderful it is to think that this infinite God has looked down on you and I who are finite and had compassion on you and I. If you'll forward to the last slide, Brother Laxman, it says, these are the words of the hymnist. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Just close in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. Father, there are so many reasons for us to praise you for who you are. And one amongst those is the fact that you are an infinite God. Father, we praise you because you're infinite. We praise you because you're boundless. We praise you because you're beyond measure. And Father, even in that, we praise you because we realize that we are finite creatures, Father, and that you've stooped down and you have looked on us who are merely but dust with compassion, even such that you sent your one and only Son to this earth to die for us on the cross of Calvary. We take this opportunity to thank you and praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray.